Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
The apostolic greeting. There's nothing else for them to say. It's not word for word what it says in St. John's Gospel, but it's essentially what they say. Christ is risen. But St. Thomas does not respond, indeed he is risen. St. Thomas responds, unless I see the print of the nails in his hands and stick my finger into it, and see the gaping wound in his side and stick my hand into that, I'm not going to believe. And so, 8 days later, that is today, this Sunday, the disciples were gathered together once again, and this time Thomas was together with them, and in the same mysterious fashion, Christ appears to them. The doors are shut and locked because they're afraid. Christ appears in their midst. He greets them with the same words, "Peace be unto you." And in this case, Thomas, he speaks to Thomas directly. He knows already what Thomas has said. He knows Thomas's attitude. And so he calls out Thomas, he singles him out of the crowd of the disciples, and he says, "Reach your finger here and put it into my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be faithless, but believe." And Thomas's response is very telling. Thomas responds without, this time, not with faithlessness, but with pure faith. "My Lord and my God." He confesses not just that Jesus is risen from the dead, but he confesses that he is also God. "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And then St. John tells us that these things are recorded so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. It's an interesting event. Why would Thomas assume that all of the other apostles are lying or deluded? They're all gathered together, and he's the only one absent. He comes back, and they all say, "Christ is risen." And he says, "I don't believe you. Unless I see it with my own eyes, I won't believe you." And yet, John goes on to tell us, the Lord tells us, "Blessed are those who have not seen the empty." So, why does Thomas not believe the 12, the other disciples? Well, it's because nothing is different with them. What are they doing? Whenever Thomas comes to them and they all say that Christ is risen and he's appeared to us, but what were they doing? They were afraid. They were cringing in terror with the doors locked. And surely Thomas is thinking, if the Lord's risen from the dead, what are you afraid of? They're afraid. They're terrified. They're gathered together. The doors are locked. Thomas comes to them and they say the Lord is risen. He doesn't believe them because nothing has changed. Their lives are no different. Nothing is altered. They're still doing the same things that they were doing before. Life is still kind of going on. And so Thomas's response is this characteristic response. Unless I see the print of the nail in his hands, and unless I see the gaping wound in his side, and put my hand into that gaping wound, unless I see those things, I will not believe. And so the Lord appears again, this time 8 days later, next Sunday. Already you see that Sunday is the day of worship for Christians. The next Sunday, the Lord appears to them again, and he speaks to Thomas with these words, "Reach your finger here and thrust it into the print of the nails and stick your hand into my side." Why does the Lord appear with the corruptible wounds on his body? Why does the Lord appear in his glorified, resurrected body, still bearing the corruptible wounds of the crucifixion? Is it not to convince the disciples that it is he himself who is risen? And once he appears to them that time, we're not told whether Thomas actually did what he said he would do. Thomas's response is simply, "My Lord and my God." We don't know. Does he actually touch the print of the nails? Does he actually put his hand in the side? It's not recorded. But his response is one of faith, "My Lord and my God." But having given this peace to the disciples, having appeared to them out of his mercy to persuade them, to convince them that he himself truly is risen from the dead, and that he is both God and man, he breathes on them and sends them the Holy Spirit and says, "As the Father has sent me, so do I send you." Where is he sending them? He is sending them on the same path that he himself has already walked. This is why he reassures them. This is why he shows them the wounds. He has shown them the path to the resurrection. And he has shown them that that path inevitably entails the crucifixion. This is what he is telling his disciples. This is why he reassures them. This is why he gives them joy. This is why he gives them the Holy Spirit. Because we know that right now they're gathered together with the door shut and they're afraid. But when the Holy Spirit descends on Pentecost, what happens? They go out and preach. And it does not matter how many times they get thrown into prison or put into stocks or lashed with 39 lashes. It does not matter. They will not stop preaching that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And the whole history of the church is filled with people like this. Beginning with the apostles. The apostles were specifically forbidden. Do not preach about Jesus anymore. Stop telling people that he rose from the dead. And they said, we can't do that because that would be a lie. He is risen from the dead. And we must proclaim it. And you can beat us with lashes and you can put us in prison and you can put us in the stocks and you can cut our heads off and you can crucify us upside down and you can drown us in water and you can drag us behind chariots until we're dead and you can pierce us with spears and arrows and you can burn us alive, but we will not stop saying that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That is the message of the church. What does Christ reveal to his apostles? You will follow me. You will follow me. And you know what? In this world, you will be afraid and you will be crucified. But it does not matter. Because the Lord says, I am risen from the dead. And you also will rise from the dead. And therefore, the things that the world fears have no more power over you. You no longer fear death because I have shown you the path to the resurrection. You no longer have to fear pain. You no longer have to fear shame and humiliation. You no longer have to fear torture. Because the Lord has overcome all of those things. And he has revealed that through suffering those things in his name, the path to our own resurrection is opened up to us. So brothers and sisters, we have no more reason to be afraid. We have witnessed, together with the apostles, we have witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it is only for us to allow that fact to permeate our lives, to change the way that our lives are. So that whenever we tell people, Christ is risen, they don't say to us, I don't believe you. Unless I see the print of the nails and all that. If our lives are influenced, if our lives are changed, if the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead becomes the foundation upon which we build the rest of our life, then our life must necessarily change and become a reflection of that faith. And then when we speak to people and we say Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, they'll say, huh, well, what does that mean? Tell me more. Show to me what that means. What way of life is this that you have to teach me about? Because the way of life of a faithful Christian is not one of fear and is not one of trembling. It is one of joy and constant participation in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be all glory, honor, and worship in the ages of ages. Christ is risen.
Jesus.